I've been doing a little series, didn't exactly plan everything, but it's kind of like how to live a successful life, a Christian life. And these things I've been preaching, if you want to be a truly successful Christian in every way, including business and family and in every area of your life, you need to make sure that you know these things and do them. Today, it's delegated authority. And this is one of the most important messages that you'll ever hear. And America, this is the message that America needs to hear right now. So today we want to look at this thought. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. Just think, if everybody in America did that, all these robberies would stop today. Can you say amen? And all the murders would stop today. If people just submit to God's authority and those he has placed in authority, they would not be the crime that we have. There would not be the violence that we have. And we would have a much more stable, peaceful nation as we used to have when people had more respect for authority. The authorities that exist have been established by God. The Word of God plainly says that. We live in a day when there is almost no respect for authority. That's why you have a lot of the horrible situations you have. That includes the authority of parents and teachers and policemen. How many of you know that God has ordained the parents to take care of their kids? They're God's ordained authority, and there is no other ordained authority over those kids except the parents. Teachers can help, preachers can help, counselors can help, but they have no right to ever to usurp the authority of their parents in any way. Somebody say glory to God. And then the teachers have authority while the kids are in their care, and only then. They have no authority to rebuke the parents and try to condemn the parents. The parents are in charge of those kids, God ordained. Somebody say amen. We think of authority, we just think of policemen, but let me tell you something. Parents are God-ordained authority. Teachers are ordained authority in their place. And policemen are ordained authority if they're good apples. Can you say amen? Amen. Some teachers tell kids rebel against their parents. Don't you tell your parents. You can't trust your parents. Those teachers need to be fired tomorrow morning. Some parents tell their kids rebel against their teachers. They need to stop doing that. Hey, you listen to your teacher, they just say amen. My daddy went to school with me, and he wasn't perfect, but he did some things right. He went to school with me, and he told my teacher, if Barry misbehaves, you give him a whipping, and when he gets home, I give him another one. So I behave myself. Okay. And then some parents actually tell their kids, policemen are bad, don't take nothing off of them, rebel against them. I mean, a smart parent that loves their kids is not going to tell them to rebel against a man or fight against a man that has a gun. You're going to get them shot. So we need to respect authority from top to bottom. Just because somebody abuses that authority is no reason to throw authority out, because all authority comes from God. We need to be sure we kick the bad apples out. Can you say amen? Some parents even tell their kids rebel against policemen. You see, when the pandemic started, God told me to submit to authority and stream our services. The government was telling us, well, you got to shut down your services. You can't have church. You got to do all this stuff. And I was looking for a fight. I said, there ain't no way. The government's going to tell me I can't have church. That's a constitutional right. And they, well, we've got to watch out for the health and well-being of the people. Well, if God's people want to come together and commit suicide by COVID, that's their business. Can you say that? But most people are smarter than that anyway. And they weren't going to expose themselves unless they absolutely had to. How many don't need the government watching over you and telling you everything to do? I mean, God gave me a brain. Sometimes it doesn't work very well, but I still got one. Can you say amen? And we got people trying to tell us what to do. And God is our divine, he's the ultimate authority. And anytime an authority tells you to do something that doesn't line with the Word of God, you really do need to rebel against it. Amen. And God, unless God tells you different. But here's what God said to me. He said, I want you to submit to authority, stream the services, and put them on the radio stations. And you'll reach more people then than you do now. And that's exactly what has happened. We got people, even other states and even foreign countries, that now are listening to me preach. And God ordained that, set it up. And right after we started doing that, we didn't have anybody in church. I was basically preaching an empty church. I'm a people person, and I need people. Yeah. So we bootlegged a few people in. So I'd have some people to preach to. But for the most part, we went right along with them and had, you know, the sanitizer. And I'd certainly agree with that. I think you should have your hands sanitized every time you come in here. Can you say, man, you ever heard of the flu? You know, there's always something out there. And I believe God holds us accountable for the way we conduct ourselves. We need to be responsible. God demands that we submit to authority. To rebel against God's delegated authority is to rebel against God. And you'll see that if you listen to the Word of God. This is not something I dreamed up. I'm kind of a rebel at heart. But I want to be a godly man and obey God. I've been preaching this for 40 years, or more than that, and it's still true. But you never go against God's Word. You submit to authority unless they tell you to do something contrary to the Word of God. In Deuteronomy 9:23, Moses rebuked Israel for their rebellion. And when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, he said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you, but you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You did not trust him or obey him. Verse 24, you have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you. And a lot of Christians today, I'm telling you, they're in total rebellion against God. They will not pray. They will not go to church. They will not fast, you know. And then they wonder why they get in trouble. They wonder why they don't have faith when they have a need of a miracle. It's because they're refusing to do what God asked them to do. And I've done it too. But it's not expedient. We need to obey God. Verse 24, you have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you. This is why they all missed the promised land and died in the wilderness. Do you not understand? God was just trying to do something good for them. He was trying to give them a beautiful piece of property. It was very fertile. It could produce any kind of fruit, any kind of thing they wanted to grow. And it had plenty of grass for their animals. And I mean, they wouldn't go in. Because they're afraid of giants. Boy, we can do exactly the same thing. We can rebel directly against God if we're not very careful. And it's dangerous. Why does bad things happen to good people? Sometimes because they're not doing what God told them to do. Now, I know it's happened to me. Hopefully I've learned my lesson. See, rebellion can cause us to miss the blessings of God. God was trying to do something special for them, and because they were afraid of a few giants and a few walled cities and armed guards, they wouldn't go in. Sometimes we are afraid to do what God calls us to do. Numbers 14, verse 9, Joshua and Caleb said, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Do not rebel against God. Get your gun, so to speak. Get your sword, and let's go in and take our promised land. Yeah. And some of you are looking at the promised land right now, and you need to pray through until you know you've heard from God, and then it doesn't matter how scary it looks, go get it. We got some business people in this church right now, men and women. That's kind of daredevils, and they're taking some chances, but they pray through first, and when they hear from God, they take the chance, and it works. Even if it appears not to be working, it works. Why? That's their promised land. Just be sure you hear from God. Numbers 13, verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. Doesn't matter how strong the enemy is, you're stronger if God told you to do it. And if you know that's what God wants you to do, that's what God wants you to have. That job may look way bigger than you. It may look like something totally impossible, but if God says go do it, he'll enable you to do it. They refused to submit to Moses' delegated authority and refused to go in. It was pure rebellion, and all God was trying to do was give them something special. They were not rebelling against Moses, but God. That's really what this is about. A lot of times God uses those authority to preach to us, teach us, tell us things, and we just totally ignore them. Listen, when God has a person in a position of authority, we need to at least listen to them. Very few people have any authority to really make us do anything, but we need to listen and make up our own mind if that's the right thing to do. I've been preaching, when you give and when you pray and when you fast, you know, God rewards you. Well, that's Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount. But a lot of people, they're not going to do that. 10 million years. Give up food? Well, you have it your way. But God said, Jesus said, God will reward you if you fast. I'm God's authority in this pulpit, and I'm preaching the Word of God. You can ignore me. Okay, but if God put me here and that's in the Word of God, you need to entertain it and pray about doing some fasting. I didn't mean to get on that. Forgive me. Okay. They rebelled and missed their promised land. Numbers, I'm just showing you how it works. Sometimes it's just a word. My mama can still have a word from God for me, and she's 100 and I'm not too far behind her. Good old Willie, she'll be 100 in March. Can you say, praise the Lord? Keep praying for her. Thank you, Jesus. They rebel and miss the promised land. Numbers 14, verse 30. Not one of you will inherit the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua. He says, because you rebelled against me and refused to go in. Well, I mean, what could he do? He couldn't make them go in. And he couldn't take them back to Egypt. Pharaoh would kill them. So the only thing he could do is, as we saw last week, provide for them in the wilderness until the old unbelievers died off. Do you want to wait around till you die so your kids can believe God? Okay. Or do you want to believe God? Amen. Get a word and believe it. God often speaks through delegated authority. When we rebel against God's delegated authority, we are going to have some major failures. But we always have the final decision. I don't do everything. I certainly don't do everything people tell me to do, but I entertain it and pray over it. But I'm not doing anything unless God tells me personally, in my personal life or ministry or any place else, because I've learned if God says it, it's going to work. It's like God told us to raise $40,000 and fix up this building. I thought that's ain't no way. but instead of just 40, God started doubling. This year he went past double. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, God said to do it. Amen. Are you that confident? I know he said do it. Well, how do you know? Because I fast and pray. I fast about 110 days a year and try to pray 3 hours a day, meditate on the Word of God as part of that, and God talks to me. Some of you don't want to talk to me, but God does. Okay. 1 Samuel 15:23. And don't misunderstand. I'm just throwing some stuff out here for you to pray about. But God does use authorities in our life. You're working for a boss, God can use him to really help you be successful. 1 Samuel 15:23, Samuel said to King Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. You see, when we reject God's authority, he may reject us. In King Saul's case, you have God's delegated authority rebelling directly against God's authority. The king was in authority over the people, and yet he would not do what God told him to do. It's kind of like me being the pastor of church, preaching the Word of God to you. This is what you need to do. And then I refuse to do what God tells me to do. What if I refused to stream those services and had live services? What would have happened? I'd been in rebellion against God, and there's no telling what would have happened. Amen. You see, King Saul was removed from being king because he rebelled against God's authority himself. God, Moses did the same thing. God holds those in authority accountable. Numbers 20, verse 10. God, I'm not going to take time to read all these because you can see I'm in a hurry. Okay. God told me to pray over those people. It took up time, but I'm glad I did. He told me to have David and Jane share, and I did. Now he's going to have to help me preach fast. Okay. Numbers chapter 20, verse 10. God told Moses and Aaron to speak to a rock. They needed water. And God says, speak to the rock. Well, he got mad at the people, Moses did, and hit the rock. And so, guess what? He died in the wilderness with the rebels because he rebelled against authority, even though he was God's delegated authority. And that's why I'm so determined to hear and obey God myself, because I see what God can do when you rebel against him. And even rebelling against delegated authority, if it's God, it's still authority, God's authority. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Now, Miriam was his sister that watched over him while he was floating in the Nile. You know? And when Pharaoh's daughter pulled him out of the water, she ran to her and said, would you like for me to get a Hebrew lady to nurse this baby for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said, yes. So Miriam went and got his own mother to nurse him and take care of him until he was weaned. And so she thought she could say anything she wanted to about her brother, but God says, no, you can't. And Aaron was he was high priest, and he thought he could just say anything he wanted to, but God says, no, you can't, because Moses is my delegated authority. In verse 2, and if you have a boss at work, you need to try to do what he tells you to do. Amen. Verse 2, unless it's ungodly. Verse 2, has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they said? This is his brother and sister talking. Hasn't he also spoken through us? You see, we are equal with Moses, that's what they're saying. And the Lord heard them saying that. And the Lord heard this. Verse 8, with him, he spoke to them. He says, with him, with Moses, I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He's more than just your brother. He is my servant. He's more than that. He's my delegated authority. So what was the difference between Miriam and Aaron and Moses? They were ordained of God. They operate in the power of God. She was a prophetess. She gave inspired words from God. Aaron was the high priest. That's pretty good authority. But the difference was God's delegated authority over the whole nation of Israel was Moses. So Moses was God's delegated authority, and they were not. You see, everyone used in the gifts is not God's delegated authority. Well, God uses me in prophecy. God uses me in the gifts of healing, so I have as much right. No, God has delegated authority, and somebody operating the gifts does not necessarily have delegated authority. Well, I'm just as spiritual as a preacher. Well, you may even be more spiritual. I don't know. But if God has ordained him to pastor that church, he is God's authority. Doesn't mean he's a bull. He preaches, he shares, he tries to help people do what, but you can ignore him. I mean, what pastor has the authority to make anybody do anything? Somebody's been ignoring me for 40 years, and I just got used to it. God always speaks to his authority first. Miriam instantly had leprosy. God struck her with leprosy, and he was just teaching her a lesson. You leave Moses alone. Big sister or not. Okay. After they repented, she was healed. You see, God was defending his own authority, not just Moses. So God is not just defending a person, he's defending his own authority. God defends his delegated authority and punishes those who resist them, and that's why you need not be afraid of taking a position of authority yourself. Victory of leaders is a position of authority. And a lot of people are scared to death of that. They don't do that. But if God leads you into that, God tells you to do that, God will help you. He'll give you authority, and he'll defend you from people that show up that want to create a problem. I'm getting amens today, not even having to ask for them. Ooh, I'm on a roll. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Joshua was chosen as leader. Now they switched leaders. Now, what are they going to do with Joshua? They're going to submit to him. Look at this. No one will be able to stand. God says to him, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God protects his delegated authority. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life if God called you. Amen. All authority belongs to God, but it is delegated by God through people. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. This is St. Paul. Look at this. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Verse 2, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. I'm just reading it. It's what the word says. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. If I had rebelled against God and not streamed these services and had live services, I would have been in rebellion against God, and I believe it brought judgment on myself. You need to hear from God and then obey God. And I'm just not preaching that to be preaching it. I mean, I'm serious. I really have a healthy fear of God. For, and sure not perfect, but that's one thing. I have a fear of God. Verse 4, for he is God's servant, talking about those in authority, he is God's servant to do you good. The authorities are supposed to be there, ordained to God, to do you good. That policeman is supposed to be there to protect you. And if he's doing a good job, good guy, support him. He's there for you. And if he abuses you, call the mayor. Do whatever you have to do. Get him arrested. I mean, don't take it, but at the same time, if he's trying to help you, let him help you. Yeah. All authority is given for our good, to protect us and keep us safe so we can provide for ourselves. If you do wrong, be afraid, Paul says, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment to the evildoer, wrongdoer. You see, that is God's purpose for government, to protect the people. Policemen are to be tough on criminals. They're to protect you from criminals, no matter who they are or what color they are. Verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, because of conscience. You see, to have a clear conscience, it is necessary to submit to our authorities. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. The policeman is God's servant. The IRS is God's servant. Did I say that? They can abuse their authority and power, but thank God we still live in America, and we still can bring these people to justice if we'll pray and believe God, because Jesus said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Amen. You're not only trying to get justice on your own, you got God on your side. Hopefully I'll get to read that here in a minute. The policeman is God's servant to give their full time to governing and to protecting us. One bad apple is no excuse to defund all the good policemen. Turn your brain on. And we're not getting the protection we used to have, I think, even probably right here, because a lot of policemen are afraid to do their job, afraid they're going to wind up in jail. We, the people, haven't really supported and backed them up, and now they're backing off, and they're not giving us protection we used to have. What are they supposed to do? Go to jail? Trying to help us. The secular government is ordained of God to bear the sword to protect people and to punish evildoers. You see, to take over the United States, the Marxists, they know they must destroy the police. They can never take this country if the policemen stop them in every city. There's a reason for all this anti-police stuff. Really not about race. It's about them taking over America and turning this thing into a Cuba. That's what it's about, our Venezuela. God ordained authority. The polls show the black community wants more good policemen, not less. And nearly all the crimes in the black community are the black people. And nearly all the crimes in the white community are nearly all white people. So it's not about race, it's about criminals. Who cares what color they are? If they're trying to shoot you or stab you with a knife, you need somebody to protect you. Now, a lot of Christians are carrying guns. They got one on each ankle, one on the hip, one in the pocket, because they know they can't trust policemen to protect them as they used to. And I do believe in self-defense. If you slap me and that's all, you know, I'm not going to try to get even. That's vengeance. But if I think you're trying to do real harm to me or my family, I'm going to defend myself with everything I can get my hands on. Yes. Nothing wrong with that. Self-defense. It's not about turning the other cheek. It's about self-defense. That turning the other cheek thing is do not seek vengeance. That's what that's about, I believe. That's what I believe. You know I'm always right. No one wants a bad apple. You know, I had a police, we called the police, my brother-in-law, he had real serious mental problems. We called the police to restrain him, and they went in his house and shot him twice in his own house. Is that what you want from policemen? Well, I don't think so. Let me tell you something. A bad policeman, he won't just hurt the other race. He'll hurt his own race because he's bad. He's got a bad heart. In Luke chapter 18, verse 7, Jesus says, "And will not God bring about justice?" Are y'all paying attention? Now, this is the only way you'll ever really get true justice. On your knees. Luke 18:7, Jesus says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" Did you hear something there that you need to do? Pray day and night. Well, I don't see a need for all this praying. Jesus said to pray day and night for justice. And all of us need to be praying that for the white community, black community, you know, the Jewish community, the Hispanic, we all need to be praying for justice for all of us, because God wants all of us to have justice. And government is ordained to help bring that about. And very often God will use people in the government to bring about that justice, but it's still God. Verse 8, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." You see, if we are praying and we keep on praying and never give up, God will give us justice. He may use a policeman. He may use a district attorney. He may use only who knows who, but God will bring justice. You see, people who abuse those in authority will end up in trouble, just like Miriam, because they're there to help bring justice. So we cannot abuse those in authority. We need to respect those in authority, but if somebody is a bad apple, we need to go after their job. 1 Peter 2:13, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men." Paul said it. Now Peter said it. 1 Peter 2:13. Probably the two greatest preachers who ever lived until now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. "Submit yourselves to the Lord for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to condemn those who do right." You see, we have Paul and Peter both saying, submit to kings, governors, and every authority. All authority is instituted by God. Without God's delegated authority, this world will be a very dangerous place. And even people who have a really condemning evil government, if God's people would truly serve him, God will somehow bring justice and protect them even under a bad government. Amen. A few racist, abusive policemen are not an excuse to attack all policemen. Anytime you have humans, you're going to have somebody that ain't right. You got a lot of preachers, too, that ain't right. And the bad preachers make the good preachers look bad. Well, you can't trust a preacher. Well, you can't trust some preachers. In John chapter 19, verse 10, Pilate therefore said to him, "You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" This is what Pilate said to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say? Verse 11. Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above." He says, "You only have authority because of my daddy. He's giving you this authority, even over me, because I'm here as a man." He had authority over Jesus Christ, even to kill him. Why? God delegated that authority to him. Did he abuse that authority? Yes, because he knew Jesus was innocent and he had him crucified anyway. So he answered to God for abuse of authority. I guarantee you. Jesus answered, "You," and of course we know God used that to redeem us. But people who did it still responsible because they had an evil heart. Jesus answered, "You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above." I'm just reading the Bible. You won't explain away. That's what you can do what you want to do. But this is what it says. "Unless it had been given you from above, for this reason, he who delivered you up to me has the greater sin." Jesus said the authority you used to, Jesus said the authority you used to crucify me came from God. And Jesus submitted to that authority. The authority to crucify Jesus came from God. Pilate did abuse his authority, as I just said, because he knew Jesus was innocent, and he allowed him to be crucified anyway. If you're in authority, you need to do what's right, no matter what the pressure is. God also requires submission to spiritual authority. In Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders. It's talking about church leaders. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over you, over your souls, as those who will give an account. Spiritual leaders keep watch over our souls. You see, God uses leaders. Some things I'm preaching right now might keep you and your kids out of trouble, might even keep you out of the graveyard. But I have no authority to enforce anything. I can just speak what I feel like God is telling me to speak, and it's up to you what you do with it. Spiritual authority is more important than civil authority, but we are to submit to both. God will use the pastor, the church leaders, to speak into our lives, but we must listen and pray and decide for ourselves. God does not want you or me following anybody blindly. We have a prayer closet. We have the Word of God. Somebody say amen. And when someone says, "Thus saith the Lord," we can pray through until we know if it's right or not. Evidently, a bunch of you people prayed through on the $40,000 thing and really joined in faith and believed us, or we wouldn't have hit $90,000. So God spoke just to me and to more than me and the board. He spoke to you too, no doubt. That's the way it's supposed to work. The leadership hears from God. The pastor, those in leadership hear from God. Then everybody else needs to hear from God too. God doesn't want us following anybody line blindly, because he says, "All of you are my sheep. My sheep know my voice." 1 Timothy 5:17. We may have to cancel second service because I'm just going to keep going. No, I'm kidding. 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders, the pastors, and when it says elder, New Testament's always talking about pastors and the New Testament leadership. The elders, pastors who rule well, are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Give them double honor. In verse 18, "For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is thrashing, and the labor is worthy of his hire." So when it says double honor, it's really meaning double pay. If you got a hard-working preacher doing a good job, you pay him good, is what it says. This has nothing to do with me, but some people do complain about their church paying the preacher too much. Listen, if he's doing a really good job, this says take good care of him. I work for tips. So I have to really try hard. So he walked right past me and didn't speak. Oh, I didn't do that on purpose. I can't afford to do that because I'm working for tips. Double honor, I have the board explain that someday. Yay. Double honor, double wages. If you're here new, you're probably thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Double honor, double wages. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder, pastor, or leader, except by the on the basis of two or three witnesses. Somebody comes and says, well, I know the pastor's been stealing money. You need to say, whoa, how do you know that? Prove that. Or he's been flirting around with somebody. Prove that, please. You see, we cannot receive a charge against delegated authority without proof. We must ask, can you prove what you're saying? And by the way, this also should apply to everyone. If I hear somebody say something bad about you, I need to say, whoa, how do you know that? And buddy, I do too. Can you prove that? If you can't prove it, you better shut up, because you're going to have the judgment of God all over you. That stops all gossip. Can you say amen? One thing. Prove it, please. How many want somebody says something bad about you, you want somebody to say, can you prove that? And even if you can prove it, you don't necessarily need to spread it. Even there may be some stuff true about you, but you don't want everybody to know it. Okay. So maybe we should not be spreading everything. You see, this also applies to everyone. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He says, follow me as I follow the Lord. This is the Bible example of spiritual leadership. God calls a man, a person, like Joshua, and he calls people to follow that man as long as he follows the Lord. That's why all of us must have a great prayer life. And when we're following somebody, not follow blindly, but follow because we know we've heard from God and they're going in the right direction. Do not follow blindly. Pray until you know from God. You see, the leader needs to recognize God's voice, and so does the followers. We all need to follow because we know it's God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29, then Peter said to the other and the other apostles, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, when authority contradicts the word of God, then we go with the word of God and not with man. Let's stand.